Today, property pressure building, a postcode deep dive, part 3. Well, again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, webinar this post covering finance and property news. Today, I want to discuss the latest results from the weekend auctions and also cover off some more postcodes relating, of course, to my recent analysis. You may recall that I ran a show recently where we went through the postcodes in some detail. Unfortunately, we had so many that we didn't get through them all. So today I'm going to cover off those that people asked me to discuss. It does give a very good sense of what's going on in the property market and particularly how much pressure is out there. On the way into that, we should just look at the latest data as well, because of course, recent data gives a good indicator. And one of the critical pieces of information that many people look at, although I often question how useful it really is the auction results for the weekend. In fact, despite the Reserve Bank of Australia's decision to keep interest rates on hold this month, 3 rate increases earlier in the year, and the federal government's tax changes and also higher living costs due to the war in Iran and higher inflation more generally continue to chill buyer sentiment. Actually, Labor's decision to introduce a minimum 30% tax on capital gains from July 2027 and abolish negative gearing, the most significant changes in generation, which are designed to help first home buyers get into the market, it means that there's a lot of pressure out there, a lot of concern, a lot of anxiety. Mind you, Australian property prices have risen, let's say, 400% since the year 2000, and capital cities are among the least affordable in the world. Also, it's worth noting, Albanese said the changes to the capital gains and negative gearing will help first home buyers. And the fact critics say investors now aren't investing, he says it all. For the young Australian who yesterday turned up an auction, unlike last year, they weren't competing with investors who had taxpayer support. So that if that was another $20,000 or $50,000, that investor could go that bit higher and outbid the first home buyer, he said on Sky News. But of course, the truth is that many first-time buyers are now absolutely squeezed out of the market because affordability is more adverse, and those cash flow pressures from higher costs are, of course, still building. And other data, by the way, is also showing significant downturns. For example, the private new home sales from HIA were down 16.7%, and the headlines are full of falling home prices, like this one from The Telegraph: Sydney home prices sink back to 2021 levels. Or again, crash warning as $150,000 wiped off home values. Also worth noting that the interbank expectation of more rate hikes ahead are sitting at around 30% at the moment, and the 30-day interbank cash rate futures implied yield is for rates to go higher by the end of the year, which I think is pretty significant too. Now, turning specifically to the auction data, the preliminary clearance rate dropped to 47.4% across the capital cities combined, after steadying at around 60% for 10 of the 12 past weeks. This is more noise than signal, as we will see, but the last time the early auction clearance rate fell below 50% was in the final week of April 2020. Yes, that was around the COVID time. The true clearance, which I calculate, which is based on the ratio of listed to sold properties, dropped to a low 32.9%. That's a record low. Last week, 23.6% of auctions were withdrawn and 48% were sold before the auction, which also added to the negative outcomes. And the number of homes going under the hammer also fell by around 10.8% compared to the week prior, with 1,869 properties across the capital cities auctioned. That's according to Catalyst's data. Within that, Melbourne recorded 910 homes auctioned, and a 50.6 preliminary clearance rate, down from the 57.6% a week before, but with a true clearance of just 33.8%. In Sydney, there were 645 properties that went under the hammer, dropping 17.5% from a week ago, and that gave a 47.4% clearance rate. But the true clearance was just 34.9%, and in the smallest capital cities, Brisbane held 142 auctions, with one third, actually 33.3%, going under the hammer, while 91 homes were auctioned in Adelaide with a 40% early clearance rate, but true clearances were 25.4% and 22% respectively. And in the ACT, there were 91 auctions with a 47.1% clearance rate, and there were 16 auctions held in Perth with a 40% clearance rate, and again, very low true clearance rates. Now, it's clear to me that things are definitely on the negative downturn, because the final auction clearance rates are going to sink to, let's say, 40% over the last week. That would be equivalent to pandemic era lows. And yes, affordability does remain stretched. And falling home prices actually now are definitely on the radar. Some are saying 10%, some saying more, which would dampen the wealth effect. That's the economic phenomenon where rising asset prices make homeowners and investors feel wealthier and perhaps will spend more, while falling prices trigger the reverse. And while reduced spending may help to tame inflation, there is a risk that it could actually lead to a broader economic slowdown. Given that consumer spending is a primary driver of GDP, and of course inflation is still significantly above the RBA's 2% target, and real wages growth is still in reverse. So there are huge, huge pressures on households, which sort of take us quite nicely into the latest requests from our recent surveys. So let's now turn to those postcodes, the outstanding ones that people asked me to cover. And we're going to start with postcode 6122, which is a Western Australian postcode in Armidale. And we can start by looking at the price trends. And yes, over the last decade, there has been significant upswings. In fact, only in 1 year, May 2019, did prices fall. As a result of that, the median price was $258,000 back in May 2017. And in May 2026, it was up to $776,000. Now, if we look at the results from my surveys, you can see there that there are around 25,600 households in the area. Just 11% own outright, but 65% are borrowing. This is a mortgage belt. This is a lot of new developments in this area. 22% are renting. And within that, 35% are in mortgage stress. Rental stress is sitting at a significant 87.5%. And overall financial stress is at 48%. We can also see that there are mostly houses here at 90%. But the people ratio is at 2.62%, suggests households with kids. And the gross investment yield is 4.1%, but the net investment yield is negative, that's minus 0.6%. If we look at the average taxable income, now this is based firstly on the ATO data, and I've updated the model now because of the data from the ATO that came out this week for the financial year 23 to 24. And they said that the individual now has, on average, a taxable income of around $90,000. And the census a few years ago said $96,000. And that gives a disposal monthly income around $6,200, with 34.5% going on the typical mortgage at $2,160 a month, and 25.5% at $1,595 a month going on the typical rent payment. And looking at trends ahead, well, because of the high levels of financial stress and the lot of first-time buyers who have been buying in this area with extended mortgages, I'm struggling to see significant growth ahead. Even in the best-case scenario, and that assumes we don't get any further rate rises, the base case is we do get another rate rise or two, and that inflation stays high into 2028, which is what the RBA was thinking about earlier on. And the worst case is a more significant rise in rates, stagflation, strong inflation, and falling levels of employment. In that scenario, prices could fall, let's say 14% in the base case and even down 35% in the worst case. Now, that's a big fall. It's unlikely. But these scenarios give you some relative sensitivities of the different things that are going on at the moment. Now, the next one we're going to look at from Litation asked for a range of postcodes. I'm just going to do Box Hill, postcode 2765. This is one of those areas in northwestern Sydney. And if we look there, the story at Box Hill is significant falls in May 2018, 19 and 2020. There were rises in 2021 and 2022 after rates were cut and all those home buyer stimulus packages came through. But since then, there have been small ups and downs. And as a result of that, prices were, well, quite high, more than 2.4 million back in May 2017, but now are sitting at 1.388 million. Now, we've got to be careful because over that period of time, there have been huge amounts of development. And in fact, more properties have been developed in new areas in and around Box Hill at lower price points. But nevertheless, it does make the point that overall, not all areas are seeing massive rises. Compare that with Western Australia, of course. Now, if we then look at Box Hill in our models, postcode 2765, we can see that in this area, there's around 15,000 households, 11% earning outright, but 65% are borrowing. And actually quite a similar proportion to that previous one in Western Australia, 24% are renting, but the difference is that there's a lot more mortgage stress. Pretty much everybody is under financial pressure, 100% in my modelling, 83% in rental stress. So financial stress is significantly high. It's close to 90%, which is one of the highest that we've ever seen. If we look at the footprint of properties, it's mostly houses at 96%. And a lot of these, of course, are those new crammed-in properties. They might be even standalone detached properties, but very, very close to each other. The people ratio is extremely high, so this is families with lots of kids. And the gross investment yield is 3.4%, so that's actually comparing the rental return with the price. But the net investment yield is down 1%, and that's looking at the cash flows that property investors are getting at the moment because of the higher interest rates and the fact that there's a bit of a cap on what renters can pay. They're underwater. And in fact, we're seeing this in a lot of those outer suburban areas up to the northwest of Sydney. Net investments are negative. And without capital appreciation, that means that property investors will not make a return. If we look at the taxable income, the ATO reported $101,000 as the individual taxable income in the financial year 23-24. The census gave a household income of around $133,000. The multi-flag comes up because that suggests that multiple incomes are going to pay the mortgage. And that gives a disposable monthly income after tax of around $8,600, with 39.3% going on the typical mortgage at $3,380, and the typical rent at 31.3% at $2,691 a month, which helps to explain those significantly high levels of mortgage and rental stress. Looking at the price scenarios ahead, even in the best case scenario, we think prices will fall from this point. And if we do get more rate rises, or stagflation or more inflation, we could see more significant drops, maybe 23% in the base case, and even worse if in fact interest rates went even higher. Now, the next postcode that we were asked to look at was Tamworth, postcode 2340. And there, if we look at the trends over the last 10 years, you can see that recently prices have been rising, but of course they rose even more strongly in May 2021 and 2022. There was a bit of a drop in May 2020. Overall, in May 2017, the median price was $271,000, And in May 2026, it's got up to $555,000. And if we look at the data, my model for postcode 2340, we can see that there are 21,000 households in the postcode, 29% earning outright, 36% are borrowing, and 34% are renting. 89% have mortgage stress, 77% have rental stress, and overall financial stress is quite high at 63.4%. Mostly houses, but some types of other property there too. The people ratio is 2.28%, and the gross investment yield is positive at 3.3%, but the net investment yield is negative, minus 1%. The average taxable income from the ATO is $84,400 and $76,000 from the household census. That gives a disposal monthly around $5,400 with 33.6% or $1,820 going on a typical mortgage payment each month, and 27.6% at $1,495 going on the typical rent. And unfortunately, I don't see much good news in terms of price movements ahead, with the best case perhaps down 7% over 3 years, the base case down 21% over 3 years, and the worst case, a more significant fall. Now, Ian asks for postcode 2517, Woonoona. Postcode I know very well. We nearly bought a property there when we moved down from Sydney. And in Woonoona, well, there were significant rises in May 21 and May 22 after the COVID interruption. A lot of people moved out of Sydney, for example. And there was a fall in May 2023. And then we saw a rise in May 2026. Overall, prices have moved up from $885,000 in May 2017 to $1.5 million in May 2026. And if we look at the data for this particular postcode, Woonoona, postcode 2517, we see that there are around 5,600 households there, a third earning outright, 41% are borrowing and 24.5% are renting. Mortgage stress is at 52.3%, rental stress is at 75%, overall financial stress at 51%. 65% are houses, 17% are units and the types of property there as well. People ratio is 2.39%. Gross investment yield is 3.3%, but the net investment yield is a very significantly negative number, minus 1.4%. The average taxable income, according to the ATO, was $103,000 in the year 23-24, and the household census from earlier on was $93,000. That gives a disposal monthly income of just around $6,000, with 43.3% at $2,600 going on the typical mortgage and 33.2% $1,993 going on the typical rent. And looking at the scenarios, in the best case scenario over the next 3 years, small falls are probable. In the base case, a more significant fall, maybe down 70% over 3 years. And the worst case, a more significant fall. Now, Dane asked for postcode 2046, which is Chiswick. And here we can see over the past 10 years, prices spiked significantly in May 2020 and 2022, and were also up in 24 and 25, but fell in 2026. And we can see that prices there were at 2.5 million back in May 2017, were at 3.8 million in May 2026. And in fact, this emphasizes something we have seen, where more expensive properties are already sliding faster than less expensive ones. And we do see in a number of more affluent areas, significant price falls, in some case well under 20%. In others, a little bit more than 20% in some areas. So there are some significant flags ahead for more expensive property. Now, if we put 2046 into the model, we find that there are around 11,500 households in the area, 32% are owning outright, 34% are borrowing, and 34% are renting. Mortgage stress is pretty low at 7.8%, but rental stress is pretty high at 83%, and overall financial stress is 42%. In the area, 45% are houses, 40% are units, but there are other types of property there too. People ratio is 2.27%, On the gross investment yield is 3.5%. Net investment yield is minus 0.8%. The average taxable from the ATO was reported at $143,000 compared to the census from $124,000. Now, $124,000 was, of course, when the last census was done, which was, well, a long time ago now. Looking at the disposal monthly income, we see around $7,200 a month on average, 49.7% going on the typical mortgage at $3,617 and 39%, $2,841 a month going on the typical rent. And it's worth highlighting, we are seeing this in these more affluent areas, people with relatively large incomes, but also significant proportions going on that mortgage, nearly half in this particular postcode, which is significant and very important if rates were, of course, to rise further from where they are today. And that's why, in the best case scenario, there's almost no change to prices over the next 3 years. But if interest rates rose again, we would see further falls, maybe 14% down over 3 years. In the worst case scenario of more significant rate rises and stagflation, a very significant fall, maybe down 36%. Now, the next one is postcode 5083, which is Broadview. And Broadview has an interesting story to tell insofar that prices moved up significantly in May 2022 and have been rising in 24, 25 and 26. Overall, prices were around 513,000 back in May 2017, and now they're standing at 1.1 million in May 2026. Now, if we then turn to my model, so Broadview, of course, is in the Adelaide city suburbs, and there we have 3,400 households, 25% earning outright, 39% are borrowing, and 34% are renting. We have very high levels of mortgage stress, and rental stress is sitting at about 60%, so financial stress is quite significantly high at 61% overall. In the area, 67% of houses. There are some units and other types of property in the area. And the gross investment yield is 3.7%. The net investment yield is negative, minus 0.9%. According to the ATO, in the year 23-24, the average taxable income in the postcode was $89,000, and that compares to $92,000 from the earlier census. The disposable monthly income is around $6,800. That's the taxable income, of course, with 31.3% going on the mortgage with a payment each month of around $2,154 a month on average, and 23.2% at $1,595 a month for a typical rent payment. And overall, well, despite recent growth in and around Adelaide, we think that could be a little bit squeezed out in the next 2 or 3 years with very small falls over the next 12 months. And in fact, maybe 2.7% falls over the next 3 years if no change in interest rates. But if rates were to rise further, there would be more significant falls, perhaps down 17% over 3 years. And if things got really bad with more interest rate rises, higher inflation, stagflation as well, possibly, we would see significant falls. And I would make the point that Adelaide is due for a little bit of a correction. And whilst many people have been arguing that Perth and Adelaide will continue to grow, my sense is that we're already seeing some early signs of turning. And as interest rates stay high and as affordability gets compressed because inflation stays high, I think some of these are going to flow through into more significant pressure on households, sufficient perhaps to turn recent rises into reverse. It's worth bearing in mind, of course, in Perth and Adelaide, there have been chapters where prices have dropped quite a lot. So I think that covers off the outstanding postcodes that I was asked to cover. I noticed there were a couple of others added into the comments recently. I will try and get to those, but it will take a little while simply because I have other tasks I need to do as we come up towards the end of the financial year. Also make the point that if you are interested in having a conversation with me, you can think about my one-to-one conversation. This is an individual conversation with me about my models. It's not financial advice. but we can look at the underlying trends and all of those factors that are influencing market dynamics at the postcode level. I can look at the stress data, the home price trend data, and look a view also as to where things may be going based on my modelling. And you can book a conversation by Zoom or for a phone discussion. It takes about an hour. If you'd like to do that, there is a fee involved, simply because it takes time and effort for me to do the work. And if you are interested, contact me via my blog. We are booking 3 to 5 weeks ahead at the moment because there are a lot of conversations in train and a lot of people needing some help to understand what is actually going on at the moment. And my final observations, as I often say, well, when you actually are looking at how things are going at the moment, households, of course, are under significant pressure. I don't see this pressure going to ease anytime soon. And therefore, there are two things that people need to consider. The first is that if you do have significant pressures financially, particularly if you've got a mortgage issue, then it's worth getting good help. And the National Debt Helpline on 1-800-007-007 is an excellent source of help. It's backed by the government, of course, and the financial counsellors there are very, very good, very busy at the moment. They've reported recently unprecedented numbers of contacts and requests for help. They also make the point that if you do get financial counselling right, then 74% can avoid legal action, 69% are more positive about their futures, 66% find they can resolve their financial difficulties, 63% improve their mental well-being, and 53% avoid bankruptcy, and 45% improve their physical health. The point there, of course, is that financial pressures lead to relationship pressures and also even things like health issues. So it is worth getting help. Don't just Google. Look after yourselves better by contacting the professional financial counselling networks. The thing is, it's good to understand money in, money out, and sometimes people need help to do that. The AFCAS Statement of Financial Position actually provides an excellent service insofar that it gives you a structure to be able to put information about your income and expenses and other details and other assets. And this is a really good form that you can complete and then use it with your financial firm or a financial counsellor or indeed your bank to help them understand your position. It also allows you to understand your position. And I would make the point, unfortunately, around half of the households that I speak with actually have no real sense of their cash flow. That's a real problem because, of course, if you don't know where the money's coming in or going out, you've got no chance of making good decisions about managing it. And at the moment, the government is not going to get you out of jail and the RBA is unlikely to cut anytime soon. So it is down to individual households making good decisions about their finances. A final point I want to make before I go. If you are interested in getting more information about my models, you can use the Patreon service to subscribe. It's $50 a month to get information on more than 2,000 postcodes that we update each and every month. And for those who have already subscribed, I'll be sending out this information over the next couple of days. The information is updated monthly, and it gives you unprecedented access to the information sets that we generate. So, as I come to the end of the show, I think three quick points. Firstly, financial pressure on households is going to continue for some time yet. Many people are now getting to the point where things cannot go on the way they're going on because it takes time for financial stress to turn into real consequences for many people. They put more on credit cards and borrow more, but there's a limit to that. And the third point, as home prices now look to be turning down, it means that the get-out-of-jail card of at least selling and getting away with equity might be dissipating because more households could well be entering negative equity, especially if they bought recently on the government's 5% first-time buyer deposit schemes. So it is important to make good decisions and take ownership of your financial position. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.